Thank you, too, and all God's people said. Appreciate that very familiar song, but a wonderful song. I thought, what a message. If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to read the entire chapter, all 13 verses, as we continue on. This is the last message we are planning to preach on Christian liberty. Because it is such an important topic that we want to make sure we understand it and we're obedient in all things. So I'm going to read, as you note, the discussion or the divide in the church in Paul's day was over meats offered to idols. And you'll note there are several passages that talk about Christian liberty, chapter 6. Chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, and Romans chapter 14. Those are all passages that are dedicated to the topic of Christian liberty. It is important. It's important we understand it. Now, you'll note that with that little bit of an introduction, they jump right into it in chapter 8. Now, as concerning things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffed up, but charity or love edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered to in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man the knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto that this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat condemneth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see that yet which hath knowledge set it to meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through this thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Let's pray. I do thank thee for your word. And Lord, we do thank thee so much for the privilege to preach and teach. And Lord, as we look into this topic once again, Lord, we ask thee to quicken our minds, and Lord, that we might understand the Word of God and apply it to our life, Lord, that we can be vessels that are used by thee to have a wonderful impact upon our culture. And Lord, we ask thee to give us wisdom and give me power as I preach, and Lord, work in our hearts. For this we ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. As you know, we've been preaching through the topic of Christian liberty, and this is the fourth message that we have spent time on it. Christian liberty, as you know, in the areas where the Word of God is silent in principle and in command, God leaves it up to the Christian before God himself, through the work of the Holy Spirit and his study of the Word of God, for him to decide what God's will is for his life. That is Christian liberty. How does that take place? Well, we study God's Word. We spend much time in prayer. We listen to the Holy Spirit's voice. We have to seek godly counsel. All of those things are going to help us find out what God really wants us to do. But when you come to the topic of Christian liberty, there is often a problem. You have young Christians or carnal Christians who will often use the topic of Christian liberty as a license to them, for them to fulfill the desires of the flesh. That is misuse and it is abuse of the topic of Christian liberty. On the other hand, we have Christians who love God, who have a love for other people, and realize that out of love, they are to have their Christian liberty in check for the sake of God and for the sake of others. And you'll note, as we brought out last time and in Romans chapter 14, you'll note the spiritual Christian is one who recognizes that in a church there are different ideas and preferences. They also accept people where they are, the way they are, and love them into being what God wants them to be. They recognize that everyone is accountable to God. And they also know what they truly believe and can back it up with Scripture. They also recognize that we are owned by God Himself, and we're not to judge or criticize or condemn others. And we are to yield to the Lord who is Lord of our life, who we will give an account to. And we're to carefully evaluate our testimony before others. And he recognizes that the real issue is not the outward things, but it is truly the heart. And they're to walk in love, giving up their liberties for the sake of other people. And they strive to keep peace and build lives, and they don't use their liberty to offend, and they walk by faith, giving up self for the sake of others and the cause of Christ. That's the spiritual Christian. Now, you'll note the overriding principle of Christian liberty is love. You'll note that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and of course that is in this whole section, you'll find love. And you find it right away in this passage. As you begin in the first verse, have not knowledge, knowledge puffed up, but love builds. And what it really means is this, is my Christian liberty, what is the governor or the guideline for my Christian liberty is this, is I love God so much and I love the cause of Christ and others so much that I willingly will watch my life so I am not used of Satan to in any way hurt the cause of Christ or cause others to stumble. That is true biblical Christian liberty. For the sake of others, I give up my liberty. Everyone is confronted every day having to make decisions that fall into this realm of Christian liberty. For example, we had our dryer. It died finally at our clothes dryer. You know what it's like to live in a home with three women who need a clothes dryer. That's an emergency, okay? It's just the way it is. Things need to be taken care of. God's word doesn't say, thou must get a clothes dryer. My wife says, I must get a clothes dryer. And my daughters. God doesn't tell me which one to get, or where to go. Now I talked to two deacons to find out where on earth can I find a good clothes dryer. All the time you make decisions on buying, selling, to go here, to not go there, what to wear, what not to wear, all the time we make decisions. And those decisions often are not spelled out in Scripture. But yet we are to do what God wants us to do in all things. He is to be Lord of our life. And we are to submit to Him, and we're to seek His will, and we're to be careful with what we do and how we live and where we go. We make decisions concerning amusements, what you watch. You make decisions where you are going to have a job, etc., etc., etc. It goes on. And God doesn't lay out in Scripture and tell us every detail for our Christian life. And in these areas, God has given us the freedom to make a decision through the work of the Holy Spirit and reading the Word of God and through prayer and seeking advice to do what God wants us to do, where we can daily walk in the will of God. Christian liberty is a topic not for carnal Christians. It's for spiritual Christians who want to please God in all things, who want to do what God wants them to do, who want to have an impact, who want to grow and want to touch lives and don't want to be used by Satan. That's what Christian liberty is really for. We love Him and we seek to please Him and we want to do what is right and we don't want to do what is wrong and we don't want in any way hurt the cause of Christ. Now in these passages, you'll note, I'm pulled out at least 7 principles to help us decide what God wants us to do. In the areas of Christian liberty, we need to go to the Word of God and say, okay, what are some principles that are going to help me make the right decision? Since I love the Lord, and I love the cause of Christ, and love the souls of man, and I want to be used, what are some principles that are going to help me? I already said, how do we find out? Well, one is you read God's Word, you spend time in prayer, you listen to the Holy Spirit, you seek godly advice, but I want to add one more to that is ask yourselves some basic questions based on the principles of God's Word. And I'm going to give you 7. The first one is this, is the principle of expediency. Ask yourself this question, is it best that I do this? In other words, is it best that I do this maybe now? It might be okay to do, but it might be okay to do maybe later. But it's just not best for you. Now, I want you to notice a couple passages. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I mentioned the passages of chapter 6, chapter 8. Look with me at chapter 6 and verse 12. Here's what he says concerning Christian liberty. All things are lawful, that's liberty, unto me, but all things are not expedient. In other words, it might not be best for you to do this. And you say, what would be a good example? Well, there's all kinds of, it might not be best that you take a trip at this point. It might not be best that you buy that at this point. I have a son who would just love to buy a hot, fast car. And he has a name, it's a name that I've never heard of. It's not one that I would have, like a Chevy or a Ford or a Toyota, whatever. It's not one of those, okay? It's very expensive. That's his dream. That's not Nate, that's my oldest son. He loved to buy this particular car. I look at it and I say, man, couldn't you see Pastor drive up with a $365,000 car? Number one, I couldn't touch it. Just to look at it is expensive. But that's not best. It's not best for Pastor to drive up in that kind of a car in Manning, Iowa. People would really look at me like, good night, what bank did he rob? He must play the lottery. And it goes on. And see, there's all kinds of things that we have to look at and say, is it best? And that's what Paul says. I'm free to do this, but it might not be best. And that's the question you have to ask yourself, is it best? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. And here's what he says in verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. It's not best. And that could be, and that's the question you have to ask yourself, since you don't want to cause others to stumble and you want to have an impact for Christ and you want to please God in all things, Lord, is this best that I do this? And it might be, is it best I do this at this point in my life? Is it best? All I know is the second principle is this is a principle. I call it this, of encumberment. The principle of encumberment. In other words, does it bring bondage? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, he says this. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient or best. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What is Paul saying? The question does this have the potential of binding me or controlling me or taking advantage of me? Then you say, give me an example. I love hunting. I love fishing. Those are things that I grew up doing when we were young. As soon as we got done with chores, we went to the river. We had river running through our property. As soon as we could carry a gun, we carried a gun. As soon as we could shoot a bow, we shot a bow. And before that, it was the slingshot. And we shot all kinds of things. That was our lifestyle. I enjoy doing that. But listen, those things can get a hold of you. Whereas all you dream, all you think about, all you care about is that next trophy. Now, is there nothing wrong with that? Well, I have a few trophies. At least in my book, they're trophies on my wall at home. In case you want to know, back in Rochester, on the wall is 17. I could explain that at some point in time. God blessed. But you know what? It can be all you think and dream. It could be cars. It could be baseball. Now we got March Madness basketball. Maybe you've been watching Iowa State. They lost last night. Minnesota was long gone, I think. But see, whatever it might be, your favorite football team, whether it's the Green Bay Packers, for us it was Minnesota, you know, they won every now and then. But what I'm saying is very simple, is this, is anything out of place can keep you from being what God wants you to be and keep you from doing what God wants you to do. And Paul is not talking about some sinful thing that's around his neck. He's talking about something that comes into his life that keeps him from doing what God wants him to do or being what God wants him to be. And believe you me, we live in a country where there are opportunities all the time to do wonderful, fun things that are just a joy that we would enjoy, but you have to back up and say, okay, is this best? Is this going to get a hold of me? Is it going to keep me from being what God wants me to be? All I know is the third one is this, is a principle of endangerment. In other words, the question is this, will it cause others to stumble? You'll find that in Romans chapter 8, as we read, verse 9, you'll find it in Romans chapter 8, on down through verse 13. As we look at here, he says, by meat commendeth us, not to God, neither if we eat are we the better, neither we not. And then he goes on, verse 9, but take heed or watch it, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak, to young Christians. In other words, watch yourself and say, okay, I'm free to do this, but is it really best? One of the things that I'll just, for example, I do not go sit at a bar stool in any restaurant and order a Pepsi. Am I free to? Yes. Is it sinful to drink that Pepsi? No, but I do not want to in any way give a person a cause to look at me and say, hey, listen, there's pastor, he's sitting there drinking. They don't come up and ask. They're going to just come to a conclusion. And guess what? It's going to hurt the cause of Christ. And the question you have to ask yourself, is this going to hurt the cause of Christ? Is this one of those things that is going to maybe cause people to stumble if I go there? If I do that? If I dress that way? If I act that way? Is this going to cause them to stumble? And I have to be careful, and you have to be careful with every aspect of your life. What does the world see? Are you given a proper image of Christ and the cause of Christ? You say, well, people choose to stumble, yes, but I don't want to be one who helped them. And that's what we have to be careful. Is it best? Is this going to tangle me? Or is this going to maybe endanger someone, cause them to stumble? You find it also, we read last week, it's in Romans chapter 14, verses 13 and 21. You find it mentioned there also, as we read last week. The fourth principle is, this is the principle of enhancement. Does it enhance the cause of Jesus Christ? Go with me to chapter 9. Chapter 9, and I'll begin reading verse 19 of 1 Corinthians. And here's what Paul says. For though I be free, speaking of liberty again, from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jew, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law, to them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by my all means save some. And this he does for the gospel's sake. And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. The principle enhancement, does this enhance the cause of Christ? In other words, am I, by my lifestyle, by what I'm doing, by the decision I'm making, is this going to be a good example of Christ? Is it going to enhance him and enhance his cause? Go with me to chapter 10 and verse 33. He says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Is this going to help people come to Christ? And so we have to ask ourselves, is what I'm doing, is this best? Is this going to entangle me? Is this going to build lives or hurt lives? Is this going to enhance the cause of Christ? The next principle is this, is it going to build lives? The principle of enrichment. The principle of enrichment, does it build lives? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33, he refers to that. But go with me to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, beginning in verse 19 of chapter 14, he says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may build or edify. He uses the word edify, that's build another. And he says in verse 20, for meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. The question is this, does it build people? What you're doing, or partaking in, or the decision you're making, is it going to build people? Are you just going to encourage people in the Lord, encourage saints? Are you going to build lives? And that's a question we have to ask ourselves. And we're not to live for ourselves, we're to live for Him. And so the question is it best? Is it going to entangle me? Is it going to be an endanger to those around me where they might stumble? Is it going to enhance the cause of Christ? And is it going to be one of those that enriches people where they actually are able to grow? What are you doing to help people grow? The next principle is this, is the sixth one. It is the principle of exaltment. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. You know the verse. And here's what it says. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Does it exalt the precious name of Jesus Christ, or does it exalt you? That's a good question. Does it bring honor to you? Does it make you look good before other people? Is that where you're applauded and everybody says you're great because you did whatever? Or does it exalt the name of Jesus Christ? Does it bring glory to His name? And the question is, does not only build lives, but does it bring glory to Jesus Christ? Does it exalt His character? Does it exalt His cause? Does it bring glory to Jesus Christ? The last principle is this, is a principle of equivocation. Do, and here's the question, do I have peace believing I'm doing what God wants me to do? Look at me at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 5 says this, "One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." In other words, you be convinced in your own mind that what you are doing is what God wants you to do. Go on down with me in the same chapter. Look at verse 20. Verse 20, he says this, "For meat destroy not the work of God, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby the brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in a thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is what? It's sin." It's sin. What Paul says is this, make sure what you decide, you are convinced before God you're doing what God wants you to do. Because if you don't have peace in your heart and you aren't convinced that this is what God wants you to do, don't do it. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And you say, well, what I'm doing is not a sinful act, buying this particular item. No, it's not. But it can be if you aren't doing what you believe God truly wants you to do. And so you can see this, the principles that Paul lays out in the area of Christian liberty are principles that we need to, as Christians, apply to everyday living. It is a little difficult because the world says, have it your way. You know, no one can tell you what to do. You do what you want. You're your own boss. You're your own man. Well, the Lord says he's Lord. And we're to love him with all of our heart and with all of our mind and all our soul. And we are to love others like we love ourselves, Matthew 22. And we're to love the Lord and love others so much that we willingly give up our freedom for the sake of others. That's to be the heart of a mature Christian. Now, the immature Christian looks at it and says, hey, I am free, I can do anything I want, whatever, and often they slide into the fact of going into sin because they're using their liberty as a cloak, as a covering for unrighteousness. In other words, they fulfill their lustful desires of their heart under the guise of Christian liberty. Well, they have a misunderstanding of Christian liberty. If we have understand Christian liberty, yes, we're free to do whatever God wants us to do. So I need to find out what God wants me to do. I need to find out under the principle of expediency is it best. Under the principle of encumberment, is it going to bind me? Is it going to keep me from being what God wants me to be or doing what God wants me to do? The principle of endangerment, will it cause others to stumble? Or the principle of enhancement, is it going to enhance the cause of Christ? Or the principle of enrichment, is it going to build lives? Or the principle of exaltment, is it going to bring glory to God? Or the principle of equivocation, do I have peace about it? And so you can ask those questions every day. And you say, well, Pastor, that's hard because that means I'm concerned about what other people think or do or say. Well, it's talking about us being careful about our testimony. Us not causing others to stumble. It's not talking about Christians who are bitter and Christians who are have been around or just looking for fault. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about Christians having an impact for Jesus Christ on the world around them and being very careful that they love the Lord and love others more than they love themselves and love God so much that they give up willingly their freedom for the cause of Christ. Now that's tough, and it's not for immature Christians. It's for spiritual Christians who just want to please God, who want to do what God, want to have an impact and want to do what God wants them to do. Guidelines of our liberty. Now, this week, you're going to make decisions. I hope you just don't just go make a decision because it's a decision and you wanted to do it. No, prayerfully, study God's word, listen to the Holy Spirit, seek godly advice, but ask yourself these questions. And in doing so, God can use you in a greater way to touch lives. That's God's plan. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. I want to ask you this question. With the decisions you made last week, and I know there are all kinds of decisions, and sometimes you have to make them immediately. You can't think about it. You don't even have time to hardly pray. But I would encourage you just to slow down just a little bit. And when you're confronted with a decision that you need to make, first of all, what does God's word say? Then spend time in prayer. God, do you really want me to do this? Is this best? Is it best now? What about others? Is this something I just want to do? Or is it going to bring glory to your name? Ask yourself some questions. Maybe get some advice. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But then ask yourself all these questions, and it'll help you and it'll help me make the right decision and use my liberty correctly. I hope you will. Our Father, do thank thee so much for your love, and we thank thee so much for the privilege to preach and teach. Lord, we know the topic is one that is one of those that is hard to grasp, but yet it is so important that we as Christians realize that you are Lord, and we're to love you with all of our heart, and we're to seek to obey you in all things every day. And Lord, just lead us, Lord, that we might be vessels that are so used of thee because we walk with thee. And Lord, bless us, give us a wonderful day, and bless tonight as the video is shown, that it might be a time of growth. And Lord, just help those that have been invited to come. And Lord, may we all grow and may we be used. And Lord, with the opportunities you give us, Lord, may we be vessels that are pliable and moldable and usable to bring glory to your name. Let the Lord, you might use us to touch people this week. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.